the bells. The call of the bells. Ring out at Christmas, you bells of Christmas cheer. A message of peace proclaim to those with ears to hear. Sing out the good news that Jesus lives today, the one who is the helper of those who've lost their way. Spell out your message. Salvation comes through grace, through Jesus who's redeemed us by dying in our place. Tell out the story how Jesus came to earth and as a babe through Mary, by God, was brought to birth.
Joseph's story of Christmas. My name's Joseph, Joseph the carpenter, the Joseph of Mary and Joseph in the Christmas story. But what do you know about me? What was my part in those extraordinary events of that first Christmas day? God had special plans for me. When I was a boy, my father taught me how to pray and how to work. He was a carpenter, so I learned from him how to choose sturdy wood. I learned how to measure it, cut it with saws and nail it together. I practiced again and again until I could use the tools without cutting my fingers and make the wood so smooth I didn't get splinters. I also learned to pray the Psalms. I learned to follow God's laws, the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses. I practiced again and again and learned to love God with all my mind and all my heart and all my strength. Help me to do the things that are good and kind, I asked God. Then I met a young woman named Mary. I wanted to marry her. Her family was pleased, so we became engaged and began planning our wedding. Then it all seemed to go wrong.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus is announced to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and who'll be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her.
"Joseph," she said, "I'm going to have a baby." I can still hear those words in my head. I was confused and troubled. I had always wanted to please God and do what was right. I loved Mary and wanted her to be my wife. I could do nothing to hurt or harm her, but how could there be a baby? What was I to do? So when I was alone, I did what I always do when I'm confused and troubled. I prayed. Father God, I said, what should I do? How can I do what is right and good?
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The angel visits Joseph. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Nothing is straightforward, is it? The Roman Emperor had decided there should be a census of all his people. Everyone had to return to their home of their ancestors to be counted. I am a descendant of King David, so I needed to go to Bethlehem, a journey of several days, and Mary was heavily pregnant. Nevertheless, we were going on this journey together. Mary would ride the donkey to save her as much discomfort as possible, but it wasn't going to be easy. We travelled with many others and finally arrived at Bethlehem. I began knocking on doors. I hoped to find a room, a place where we could stay after our journey. I knew that God had given me this job to protect and care for Mary as the pains came that told her that soon she would give birth to her baby son. But where could we go when everywhere was full?
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Jesus went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have a baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
It was a starry night when I placed clean hay in a manger and made ready a place for Mary's baby. I stayed with Mary until finally I held God's son, Jesus, the promised Saviour, with hands as strong and gentle as any father's hands. I prayed again, Father God, now more than ever, help me to do what is right and good for this holy, precious child. We didn't get much sleep that night, but what a night. I listened with Mary as shepherds, excited and full of the news of the baby's birth, came to visit us. I listened with amazement as we heard about the angels who had appeared to the shepherds on the hillside and told them that Jesus had been born and where to go and find him. The echoes of the angels' song seemed to come with the shepherds to Bethlehem. Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them,
"Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God.
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them.
On another starry night, I watched in wonder as camels stopped outside the door of the little house in Bethlehem where we were now staying. Wise men entered, bringing gifts for Jesus, whom they called a baby king. I saw the men worship the child I had helped to care for. When they left, I held in my hands the gifts they had left, gold, frankincense and myrrh, and put them safely away.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah. For from you will come a leader who will guide my people, Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were, what joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house
And when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
What next? Indeed, what next? Because that night, God sent his angel to me again in a dream. Take the child and his mother to Egypt, for Herod means to kill him, I was told. Stay there until I tell you it is safe to return. So Mary, Jesus and I left Bethlehem that night and travelled to Egypt. I provided them with food, shelter and safety while we made our home in a foreign land until God sent his angel again. This was the third time I had been given instructions from God by an angel in a dream. Return to Israel, Joseph, I was told. The people who are seeking the child's life are dead. So I took Mary and Jesus to Israel and to a home in Nazareth, where, just like my own father, I taught Jesus how to pray and how to work.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and then 19 to 23, the escape to Egypt. After the visitors from the east had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. I called my son out of Egypt. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream. So he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene.
What extraordinary events that surrounded the birth of Jesus. But one thing we all knew. Mary, Jesus and myself were all safely in God's hands. Part of a greater plan. A plan that includes you.
Joseph. He was bewildered and didn't understand what she was saying or doing, but stood by his commitment and the pledges of his love. Only at Christmas is Joseph seen with Mary and her child, yet he is vital to this family and for that child. It is he who is of David's tribe. Through him the line is traced, and only because of Joseph did they go to Bethlehem. This child needed Joseph just as much as Mary to guard and guide him on the journey. And through the hidden years, when this lad had to learn the ways we all must learn, he needed fathering. Jesus needed Joseph, his village odd job dad, to imitate and model on, to learn his trade and take him to their synagogue. He needed Joseph and his committed care, at least until Bar Mitzvah, when they searched for him while he was searching truth. He needed Joseph till grown and old enough to receive his special, deep experience of Abba, his Father God. This earthly Father points us to the heavenly. In God's committed care for us, although he knows exactly what we say and do, he stands by us and loves us still, and calls for our committed love to him, to stand by him wherever we may have to go.
Tonight we've looked at the Christmas story through the lens of Joseph. I don't know about you, but I feel sorry for Joseph. You could argue that he's the real hero of the Christmas story. He stood by his wife when most fair-minded men would have sent their wives packing. And yet, it's his wife that gets all the limelight. I mean, you just look at those Christmas cards that you've already perhaps received this year. If they're at all religious, then for the most part, the emphasis is on Mary and the baby, of course. Joseph, if he features at all, is always in the background. And yet Joseph had a vital role to play. I could spend a whole sermon speaking of how Joseph forms a great model for husbands. He stood by his wife when things were extraordinarily complicated. You know, I believe if there were more Josephs around, there would be fewer divorces. And almost certainly, Joseph forms a great model for fathers. He may not have sired Jesus, but he brought him up in such a way that Jesus was able to call God Abba, Father. But tonight the key point which I want to make is this. Joseph followed the advice of the angel, and we read, named his son Jesus. Actually, he didn't really call him Jesus, did he? Because Jesus is a Greek name. Rather, Joseph will have named him Yeshua, the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus. Joshua, in fact, is closer to Yeshua than Jesus. Now today, if a couple were to call their child Jesus, people would think them a little odd, wouldn't they, to put it mildly? Because for us, the name Jesus is a very special name. It belongs to only one person, the son of Mary, the son of Joseph. But of course, at the time when Jesus was born, Jesus, or Yeshua, was a very common name. It was almost like calling a child Jack or Peter. At that time, there was a very famous historian, Jewish historian, called Josephus. And Josephus tells us that of the 28 high priests who held office from the reign of Herod the Great to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, no fewer than 4 bore the name of Jesus. And in addition, Josephus tells us of a number of other Jesuses. There was a general called Jesus, a son of a priest called Jesus. And of course, there was that robber who died with Jesus. We normally call him Barabbas, but actually he was Jesus Barabbas, Jesus son of Abbas. It was a common name. But although a common name, Joseph chose the name Jesus because it had a special meaning. Jesus, or Yeshua, means God saves. As the angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Or actually, to translate it more accurately, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, and he, and not anybody else, will be the saviour. Jesus Barabbas sought to live up to his name by leading a terrorist campaign against the occupying power of Rome. If you like, he sought Israel's political salvation. Now, I believe that there is a place for politics and for political solutions. And would that there were more committed Christians engaged in the political process. But politics only has so much to offer. It can provide things like education and welfare. But it cannot deal with that rottenness which is at the heart of human relationships and which the Bible calls sin. Only Jesus, the son of Joseph, can deal with our sin. Jesus and Jesus alone can deal with that spiritual cancer that threatens to destroy our relationship with God and with others, and ultimately threatens to destroy us too. Jesus and Jesus alone can offer us forgiveness. He alone can give us purpose in this life and hope for the next. Jesus is the Saviour. Now, if I'm honest, I doubt whether at that time Joseph understood the significance of the name he gave to Mary's child. But he realized that this was no ordinary child. Rather, this was a child in whose birth God was at work in some strange and mysterious way. Of course, the true significance of the name only became clear the other side of the cross and resurrection. But nonetheless, Joseph named his son Jesus, Jesus the Saviour of the world. Well, you're a pretty motley crew, are you not, tonight? All sorts are here. I wonder whether there are any Josephs present this evening. You've been dragged along to church to sing carols. And in so doing, you've sung of the coming of a Saviour. But frankly, you've got little clue about what this term Saviour really means. You acknowledge that this child has some special significance. But in some strange way, perhaps God was at work in his life and even in his death. But precisely how God was at work and what relevance it might have to you, you haven't a clue. You're as mixed up as Joseph was when the angel appeared to him. Now, if that's you, there's nothing to be ashamed about. But I would simply do this. I would encourage you to join our next Alpha course. Alpha is one of those national phenomena. We got a branch, as it were, of Alpha here. It's a 10-week course that begins on Monday evening, the 24th of January. I'll be there, and if that's not an attraction, Lisa will be there. And if that's not even an attraction, well, then Matt will be there. And over the succeeding 10 weeks, we'll be exploring with you the true significance of Jesus. Who was he? Why did he die? What's his resurrection got to do with us? These and other questions we're going to look at in a very unpressurized way. Matt's going to be at the door tonight, aren't you, Matt? Stand up, turn around, see the fairy. He's the guy with little cards, which will tell you some more about Alpha. Yes, come along to Alpha and find out what the angel meant when he told Joseph to name his son Jesus. Let's pray. And in the silence, let's make our own response to God. Oh God, there's so much confusion in this world, not least confusion about Jesus. Help each one of us here tonight to gain further clarity about this Jesus, of whom the angel said he would save people from their sins. In his name we pray. Amen.